How do you do, everyone? We're greeting you now from the Naval Air Base at Lakehurst, New Jersey, from which point we're going to bring you a description of the landing of the mammoth airship Hindenburg, which was due here in America this morning at dawn, completing the first transatlantic crossing of the 1937 season. Charlie Nielsen, one of our WLS engineers, is here at my side working the controls. With just 1 year ago today, May 6th, that the Hindenburg made its first regular passenger flight to America, the flight that inaugurated the first air service across the Atlantic. So this occasion is doubly significant. It is the first anniversary of the inauguration of the service and marks the first flight of this year. The Hindenburg left Frankfurt, Germany, Tuesday evening at 7:30, their time. And for better than 2.5 days, they've been speeding through the skies over miles and miles of water here to America. It was due to land at Lakehurst this morning at dawn, but we learned after our arrival at Newark that adverse wind conditions had been encountered over the area surrounding Newfoundland, which slowed the speed of the ship considerably. Now, when I say that it slowed the speed of the ship, by that I mean the speed of the travel over water or land. Now, the ship keeps in the air a constant speed, which is in the neighborhood of 80 miles an hour. The Hindenburg made its first appearance shortly after noon today over the New York metropolitan area. All during Wednesday night, Charlie Nielsen and I stayed in constant touch with all the radio communication systems, which were in steady contact with the airship, getting last-minute bulletins and so forth. On the Hindenburg are 39 passengers and a crew of 61. Now, we've been told that the airship is going to make an attempted landing in the rain, and if that is the case, we're going to have a mighty fine description of you because the men will have a difficulty in keeping footing in the sand, and especially since it's wet. Now, they're coming in to make a landing of the Zeppelin. I'm going to step out here and cover it from the outside. Well, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. We're out now outside of the hangar, and what a great sight it is. A thrilling one. It's a marvelous sight. It's coming down out of the sky, pointed directly towards us and toward the mooring mast. The mighty diesel motors just roared, the propellers biting into the air and throwing it back into a gale-like whirlpool. No wonder this great floating palace can travel through the air at such a speed with these powerful motors behind it. The sun is striking the windows of the observation deck on the eastward side and sparkling like glittering jewels on a background of black velvet. And every now and then the propellers are caught in the rays of the sun and their highly polished surfaces reflect circles of gold. Now, a field that we thought active when we first arrived has turned into a moving mass of cooperative action. The landing crews have rushed to the posts and spots, and orders are being passed along, and last-minute preparations are being completed for the moment we have waited for so long. The ship is riding majestically toward us like some great feather, riding as though it was mighty, mighty proud of the place it's playing in the world's aviation. The ship is no doubt bustling with activities we can see. Orders are shouted to the crew. The passengers are probably lining the windows, looking down at the field ahead of them, getting their glimpse of the mooring mast. And these giant flagships standing here, the American Airlines flagships, waiting to rise into all points in the United States when they get the ship moored. There are a number of important persons on board, and no doubt the new commander, Captain Max Frisch, is thrilled too, for this is his great moment, the first time he's commanded the Hindenburg. For on previous flights, he acted as the chief officer under Captain Lehman. It's practically standing still now. They've dropped ropes out of the nose of the ship, and it's been taken a hold of down on the field by a number of men. It's starting to rain again. The rain had slacked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It bursts into flame! It bursts into flame and it's falling, it's crashing. Watch it, get out of the way. Get this, Charlie. It's crashing terrible. Oh my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames and it's falling on the mooring mast and all the folks between it. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's 400-500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here. I can't even talk to people. His friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honest, it's just laying there, a massive smoking wreckage. And everybody can't hardly breathe and talk and scream. Lady, I'm sorry. Honestly, I can hardly breathe. I'm going to step inside where I cannot see it. Charlie, that's terrible. Listen, folks, I'm going to have to stop for a minute because I've lost my voice. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed.